Here, Dhamma friends, today too we are going to start the day's Dhamma talk. May everyone settle down and give the consent with sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammā sambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammā sambuddhassa. නමෝ තස්සේ භගවතු ආරහතු සම්මා සම්බුද්දස්සේ කතංච භික්ඛවේ භික්ඛු චිත්තේ චිත්තානුපස්සී විහෙරති තී ධම්ම ප්‍රින්ස් we are proceeding along the particular sutta known as satipatthana to the Chittanupassana, or how to abide in contemplating in mind as mind. So, this everyone, those who know about Satipatthana or Satipatthana Sutta, understand this is now we are leading to the depth, profundity of the Sutta. And for that, practical ground, the most important part is the very first section that is related to the body. With that momentum only, we can get into the deeper satipatthanas or deeper layers. So therefore, we must not forget. Whenever we are dealing with this kind of chittanupassana or how to abide contemplating in mind, always we have to refer back to the kayanupassana, or how is the mindfulness you develop with respect to the corporeality or the body or matter. That is what we call in common language the having the beginner's mind. Otherwise, this will be just a philosophical treatment or psychological game rather than a practical side. So therefore, we all are in a residential retreat and we have gone through early parts as much as possible. So we are going to take this subject up together with the practical and pragmatic signification. So your early understandings or your mindfulness with respect to the body will get refined or galvanized or reinforced when and where you go into the deeper layers, and it will be simply a coming back at home. It is not going far away, coming back home, so you can understand the way the Buddha is presenting. He says, as far as you are aware of your corporeality or your body or your material side, you understand it through the four elements or manifestations of the four elements, either as the air element or water element, earth element or fire element. When and where you associate with these four elements, it connects into your consciousness or your contemplation or your consideration is through feelings. You feel the in and out air. You feel the hardness, softness, roughness, smoothness like the earth element. You feel the heat and cold in the fire element. You feel the fluidity and cohesiveness in the water element. So therefore, the elements talk to you through the language of this feeling. So therefore, when and where you familiarize with the individual elements through your delimited approach or precise aiming and diligent effort, you can understand they are talking in terms of this feeling language. Whenever that comes into being, you see how much this core element become multifaceted and colored and multivarious expressions in terms of feeling. So that is a kind of a diversification of your mindfulness. In other words, you start with the kaya or rupa kaya, materiality as a agglomeration. Now you are slowly going into the namakaya, the non-materialistic part or agglomerations. And when it happens, your mindfulness is not much restricted to materiality. Now it is slowly opening to the mentality. And there you start to feel that the only thing is you must not get the emotional involvement. When and where it is emotionally involved, you become a sensuous being. When and where you try to see the emotional layer and the feelings layer, that's the way the discrimination happens. You become a yogi or spiritual person or mastering the situation. And so it takes a lot of time. So whatever it is happening, easily we can say it is a kind of a de-learning process, deconditioning process, and to understand the feelings as feeling without carried away by emotions, not the carried away by your likings and dislikings or preconceived ideas. So when and where you learn it, the inflicted nature of the feelings going to reduce, you can consider them as raw material for your experiment. And easily you can understand the feelings of the others also without any coloration, without any the camouflage, without any gloss over. You can feel it more and more. You try to observe in this way the normal common beings thinks you become callous. You have no compassion. You have no loving kindness and no sympathy like, because you feel that emotional contribution towards the feeling is the sympathy. That is what you call the compassion. That is what you call the metta or loving kindness. But when and where you try to feel feelings as such without this gloss over, there's a kind of a universal kind of a loving kindness, universal compassion and sympathy going to start. So that normally the sensuous beings or people chasing behind this sense pleasure never understand. They think when and where you try to understand the feelings away from this emotional coloration, you may become just a robot or without any feelings like. But when and where you try to understand feelings without the preconceived ideas, without premeditated ideas, that is really compassion. And whatever the compassion you recognize for the moment together with or smeared with feelings have its own negative marks. But when and where you try to understand the feeling, feelings as feelings, you develop kind of a cosmic level of compassion, a cosmic level of loving kindness that never carries any backlash or side effects or any after effects. For example, whenever you try to have feelings together with emotions, you may call it as a loving kindness, but it's maybe a perverted sex. So more and more you develop loving kindness, ultimately that will end up with the unwanted love affair or perverted sex. So if you do not know that, you will prescribe the loving kindness, but the end result will be uncontrollable. And when and where you are to develop compassion that is smeared with or mixed up with emotions, end up with the hatred. That is euthanasia. You may kill the patient whenever the patient becomes incurable. You can't cope up with, you may kill it. So likewise, there's a lot of perversions in the loving kindness and the compassion and the sympathetic joy as far as it is mixed up with emotions. So therefore, when and where someone is introducing this metta, karuna, mudita, the loving kindness, compassion and the sympathetic joy, one has to guard, one has to be aware its after effects, side effects. But whenever you are radiating, it is not you are radiating, whenever the radiation happens through vipassana, it has no any repercussions, no any side effects, no any after effects. So that is how Dhamma is passing from one generation to the other, one show to the other show. It never carries that kind of a backlash or any kind of a side effects and after effects. So therefore it takes long time for you to understand the Maha Karuna or the great compassion of the Buddha. He do it by teaching you the feelings or teaching you how to see feelings as feelings. And once that is done, you become qualified to feel the mind as the mind or how is the consciousness is going to work. So with that kind of a precaution, with kind of a immunity in your mind, the Buddha is now asking, when and where the lustful mind or mind affected by lust happens, just see this as saragam va chittam chipada pajanati. You can handle it, you can face to face it, because your mind is not carried away by emotions. Something like the Buddha mentioned, as an example, if you have no any wounds in your hand, you can put the hand into the basket of poison. It never absorbs as far as hand is not wounded. So likewise, if you can handle feelings without any emotions, carried away by emotions, then you can see the mind either to be saragam or vitaragam, that's it. There is no other gray area. Whenever the mind is affected with lust, it is completely other side of the unaffected by the lust. So these are the only two things you have, whether you like it or not, that make the complete picture. So supposing that you are preparing to understand or ready to deal with saragam va chittam, that means mind affected by lust. So whenever you see, for example, if I have to use the jargon in the meditative sphere, whenever you see light or lightness in meditation, and naturally the tendency is to develop the desire for that light or the lightness. So whenever it is happening, you may be eccentric and you be carried away from the mindfulness because of the appearing light. And there you have to understand not only the light, you have to understand the underlying tendency of this desire, and that you should not hate it, you should not prevent it. So when the desire is in red-handed, only you can study. When one is gone or before it happens, you can't study the intrinsic characteristics of the lust. So therefore, whenever the lust arises, you have to make this opportunity and see what are the consequences, how once the mind is affected by lust, how it works. And that particular understanding or that particular experience is not limited to so-called you. It is the human mind. So you are learning the cosmic or large scale with your minute example at your under your nose, but you are learning it And that is exactly where the Buddha is learning. Buddha already learned. So therefore, the lust is one door opening you to understand you can't expect the mind, specifically at the mind at the chitta level, with or without the lust. So whenever you are studying it, you may understand earlier, unless otherwise you do vipassana, unless otherwise you do satipatthana, whenever the lust happens, you have a phobia, you have allergic reactions to get it off because your morality or your moralistic idea always think lust is bad, lust is bad. So when that is happening, you naturally become a self-mortification kind of a character. So lust will be like an enemy. But now when the meditation comes up to this level, lust is raw material for your experiment to do. And you can understand in your day-to-day life how much you have hated it and therefore how much you have crippled or how much you are paralyzed to see things as they are. And that kind of a people, they may be sometimes ingrained in your life, that they are called self-mortification kind and they can't understand, they can't appreciate the lust in others' mind, lust in one's mind, lust in the past mind and the future mind. Whenever it happens, kind of allergic reactions start. So that is how so far we have encountered with the lust. But now in vipassana, in satipatthana, in cittanupassana, you try to understand the lust. This is the beginning of it, it's the middle of it, it's the end of it. When the mind is affected with lust, this is how it works. And even if you wish to study it alone, the lust has its own coming, its own going. So whenever it's gone, you understand Vitaraga. Unaffected by lust, now you have to compare. This is the way of my behavior, physical, verbal, mental, when I'm affected by the lust. And once it is gone, this is the way, physical, verbal, mental behavior. So without that comparison, you are nowhere. You have to have the lust, you have to have the affected by lust, and you have to have unaffected by lust. It's a free of charge. It's 1001 times it's coming and going, but you are not scientific enough to take it as a raw material for your experiment. That is to say, look at the lust without emotions, without preconceived ideas, without premeditated idea. So that is how you become unreligious. It's very difficult. We are moralists. Up to this point, or to the preparation of that, you must be a moralist. You must have your precepts. You must have your faith. You must have your mindfulness. But once it has come up to this level, you have to leave aside the judgmental idea, lust is bad or lust is good. So that is how you are trying to see with the neutral mind. That is very difficult. Not that lust is not available. Not that you do not wish to do it because of the condition. This is the damage the religion has done to you. And you are ever doing it, still now. Even in meditation retreat. So when the maturity happens, if you can't look at the lust as a raw material without the prejudgmental idea, non-reaction and unassuming way, you are just a puppet or robot controlled by a remote controller. Any person can create likings and disliking to you by creating you lustful or not. So when and where you try to understand it, you are no more, maybe in a partial way, you are no more controlled by the remote controller. You can understand, not only that, you can see how much your companions and co-meditators are subject to this kind of thing. And they are innocent. They have no way out unless otherwise they understand the teaching of the Buddha at the cittanupassana level. Lust is nothing but a raw material for you to understand. And that is not the only thing. And whenever it is not there, the unaffected by lust may be affected by hate. So there's a formula for a person like me, radical. Whenever you are full with lust, you will be very happy to understand, I am not affected by the hate, I am not affected by the delusion. Lust indicate you are free from the main two other culprits. So embrace the lust and make sure I am with lust. That indicates I am not with hate, I am not with delusion. So whenever the lust is not there, you are making the room for the other culprit to come in. With the invitation or not, it has no way either fall into the hate or delusion. So therefore, lust is not a totally wrong thing. It has some function. Whenever the mind is lustful, it never make any room for the hate to work. So when the lust is happen, don't look at it as a completely negative thing. Of course, it is a hindrance, but when you look at it, you can see as far as the lust is there, it never allow the hatred to come in. And the day you understand, as far as you are lustful, you are awake. When there is no lust, you are so sleepy. You are so full of boredom, so full of monotony, so full of uncertainty, so full of fear and doubtful. So that is how we try to keep the people up by make them lustful. That is what in the Western culture. It is doing throughout all the main, the detrimental units are make you lustful. Ultimately, you are lost to yourself. The government people can do anything for you. Politicians can do anything for you. Or people can exploit you as much as possible. And still they appear like a Samaritans and feel like a social beings, but they are bloodthirsty people. They know how to make you lustful. They know the ways and means. It is 200 years old for the present culture. But that does not mean that lust is only 200 years. Even at the time of the Buddha and even at the Buddha, Kassapa was there. But present day, this technology, this information technology, mass media, communication, infrastructure, nothing but developing lust. And we think they are so helpful for us to give benefits. They are overnight thinking and come out with so much of communication media, infrastructure, all the other mass media, they collect all the information from the all over and give us within 5 minutes. So I'm so lucky, just before the dinner, we can look at the newsreel and we can come to know all. But what is happening is you are filled with lust. So therefore, the day you understand the lust without this emotion, you will understand the present day mass media, the damage they are doing, how much they are controlling the other subject, and you will see you are the bloody fool after meditating whole day, go and look at the television. And before eating, you go and take the television reel, news reel, just like your curries, and mix it up and eat. And overnight, you are grumbling and bad dreams and all the kind of thing. And they think they are very benevolent and bringing all the news, sometimes no tax and no license, free of charge they give the television programs and services. Every corner, everywhere you go, they give free of charge because they know the game. But still, one thing very clear, the Buddha mentioned, they can only suggest. You have to second yourself, then only lust can affect you. Your chetana must be there, the acceptance must be there. So not that directly they come and infect your stream of consciousness. Each time they propose, you must have blind seconding of the same. That is how the lust is working. Otherwise, lust is paralyzed. It has no way directly into your house. Whenever it is passing the threshold, it is asking your consent. Through your consent only it is coming in. So to understand that each and everything so far came into our stream of consciousness, liking with knowing or unknowingly, we have given the consent. So this is how it happens. So therefore, you can't blame outsiders, but you can understand the mechanism. And that pretty mechanism is not limited to you. That's the human mind. And the most dramatic way, the Buddha mentioned the younger children, less than 6 years, they have not much of lust, but they are not enlightened. Because they have never seen through the lust. Enlightenment is happening only the people, those who can see through it. That is what you call vipassana. Otherwise you are born enlightened, but you don't know. It is not make you anything special. Because you have not seen through the lust. So therefore, lust is an essential part or essential test. Without passing that, no enlightenment. So if you are going to have a country separate without any lust and only the other things, and if you think that by going there and you may get enlightened, no. You may become more and more paralyzed. So the present day world is in the full combination with the due dose of the lust. Your idea is must be armed with the Kayanupassana and Vedanupassana. Whenever it happens, see your allergic reaction. See your phobia if you are a self-mortification type. But if you are a self-indulgence type, then secretly you give the consent and make welcoming, and ultimately you get affected. So therefore, understanding this subject, and through that, the Sigmund Freud managed to explain the total human behavior. The whole Western psychology is on this single thing, is his pleasure principle. Towards the latter part of his life, he started to understand the negative side or the hatred, and there's not enough time for him to develop into that. That is about sadho samma chittam, whenever the mind is affected by hate, and the relationship between the lust and the hate, you don't know, they are twin brothers like. Exactly the same. The shadow of the lust is the hate. More you have affection with someone, whenever that is not there, so much of the hate you are going to develop. So the things that not provoking lust will never provoke any kind of a hate. Thing which is going to give more and more lustful, tanhaya jayati soko, tanhaya jayati maya. Whatever you desire, that is the point, that's the source of fear, that's the source of hate. So therefore lust and the hate, they consider as the shadow, but Western psychology is still learning it. They can't understand relationship, but the Buddha, he mentioned in the Samudaya Satya, the root cause of our samsaric journey, Kamatanna, Bhavatanna, Vibhavatanna. Kamatanna means that you are sensual gratification. You are going to give more and more sights, shapes and the colors to the eye, or different sounds to your eardrum, and different smells to your nose, different tastes to your tongue or taste buds, or different comfort and luxuries to your body and pet ideas. Whenever it is filled, you never filled it, but whenever it has become more and more, you become kamatanna, that is limited to your senses. But when it is happening, specifically the people, those who are living in the household life, they feel like my sensuous gratification is not enough. Our sensuous gratification, my children, my parents, my neighbors, my friends, and you expand the same. Not only that, you think today's sensual gratification is not enough. I must have insurance for the next year. I must have the insurance for my deathbed. So expand through the time and space. Then it becomes bhavatana. It's more spread, more contagious, echoing off. And they according to the presentation of the Buddha, not even a single person on the earth should with this sensual gratification, never ended the life with the total satisfaction from their even karma dhanna. Being so, whenever they are going to become bhava dhanna, going to have my nation, my religion, my family, my street, my kind of thing, you are utterly declaring losing war. When and where that is happening, more and more disappointment happens, more and more friction happens, so much so you develop hatred to these agents and the people, those who are disturbing your bhavatanna. So that is how the vibhavatanna, vibhavatanna is utter hate, is coming out of bhavatanna. So therefore changing from the bhavatanna to vibhavatanna, it is so... vanchanika, perverted and cheating, and you yourself do not know. Whenever that happens in an uncontrollable manner, we call it schizophrenic or bipolar disease. At the time you love so much and next moment you are utterly destroyed. And whenever you understand it, still you call as a citizen, but you are mad. Each and every putujjana is mad because the changing from kamatanna to bhavatanna, bhavatanna to vibhavatanna is so swift. So you can understand whenever the mind is affected by desire or lust, or immediately it's without giving any, leaving any traces, immediately jump into the affected by hate. So you can understand whenever you are meditating, when the primary object is face-to-face, and you are very happy. If it is happening for the first time, be very, very happy to see how my mind is with arising in breath. You know it is as in breath. You see the characteristics. Whenever it is out-breath, you know it is you are with out-breath, and you know the characteristics. So when it is happening, you have a very innocent kind of a lust or desire, but immediately if there is a cracking sound happens, from that whole paradise will be broken and you develop so much of hate proportionate to the happiness you had with the primary object. So that change, it makes you completely a different personality, but still you call, you're ready to understand that also me and this also me. That change you never discreetly understand it because it is challenging you. It is challenging your egotistic idea. So when and where you try to meditate upon that or do vipassana upon that or satipatthana, you try to understand how quickly these traits are changing and utterly there is no controlling power. Utterly you don't have any governing power. So that's a kind of a nihilistic appear to be for a sensuous beings and appear like destructive. So therefore if you have no healthy mental health workable level, easily you can go mad, can go crack to see the changes from the lust to the hate. And whenever there is a mind is full of hate, there's no room for the lust. Whenever it is full of hate, the lust, no room for the hate. But imagine when and where your mindfulness or clear comprehension going to give a continuity of the momentum, then for a longer time, maybe few thought moments, there is no room for the lust and the hate to come. Then the sleepiness. Even in walking meditation, you feel swaying, uncontrollable, sleepiness in the broad daylight. And you feel something wrong in the meditation. normally in the other day when you are going to the shop and kind of thing, there is no that kind of the sleepiness. But when you are walking in the walking path and try to keep the track with the left leg and the right leg, so much of sleepiness happens. That means the head and the lust is suppressed. And under such circumstances, the delusion come in face to face it, and you fail to understand due to your practice. You have given, you have kept the desire and the head under control, and the third party, the delusion come into being. And in the meditation also, you can see whenever your mind is face to face with in-breath and out-breath for a tangible level, then your head collapse. Your body posture will go beyond control. And that is how the delusion comes into being. And you only hate that kind of thing, but you fail to understand due to a repetitive application of the mind, repetitive application of the mindfulness, your desire or hate is no more. Under such circumstances, your body posture collapse. And that is how when you are in the sleep, you can see body is completely relaxing because no active hate or active desire happens. That is why it relaxes. And in the meditation, you do it consciously. Due to the mindfulness, you don't allow the desire or the hate to arise. And then you can see the relaxation of the mind. It appears like for the beginner as your body posture just collapses. And that you can see more clearly in walking meditation also. So therefore, so far, till you come up to the level of chitti chittanupassi viharati, or abiding in contemplating on mind as mind, you consider the raga, dosa, moha, saragam, sadosam, samoham as enemies or something to be ashamed of. But here you are first time, meditation, try to understand. So, one thing, so whatever that I am going to give may not appear like ethical, but you can try and see, whenever you are going to have this boredom, invoking meditation, or in sitting meditation, give a lustful object to the mind, and you can see how quickly mind can become bright and come into the present sense, and due to the introduction of this lust. But that will be dangerous for the people, those who are often affected by the lust. But if you have the fair control on stream of consciousness with the mindfulness, you can introduce little lust or hateful thing, then the sleepiness cut off. So that means you can make use the mass catalysts. Even the lust you can make use it. Even the hate you can make use it. And then you can play with your stream of consciousness as far as you know how to handle it without emotions, without preconceived ideas. But this is, I tried the whole Tipitaka. Place where Buddha has recommended like that, Buddha never recommended, even though Dhammajiva Hamdru is recommending. So it is very dangerous. You can try. Whenever you feel sleepy, put little hateful thing or lustful thing, and you can see how much quickly your mind becomes alert. And that is the way you can make use it in a strategic way. So much so you know they are not completely bad things, it's a part and parcel of your life. They become bad as far as not under control, as far as not under restraint. But under the restraint, more you understand about the saragam vachittam, vitaragam, sadosam vachittam, vitadosam, samoham vachittam, vitamoham, you are just like, you are not like a driver, know the dashboard. Now you are an engineer, you know the mechanics of the motor mechanics in the engine. Then even something goes wrong, you can adjust it. To be a driver, just dashboard is enough. But if you know the engineering or motor mechanics, you can open the bonnet and do it. But one joke is there, all the engineers are bad drivers. Those who know mechanics, they don't know how to drive. Without mechanics of the motor mechanics, you can be a good driver. But some people can be a good driver as well as engineering. So that is the way you understand what is happening behind the screen. What is blocking this? Understanding behind this the screen is what you call culture, the civilization. Civilization blocks us. Even we are full of lust, we try to hide it in our day-to-day life. Therefore, the lust is going to get the upper hand to play or manipulate you. So whenever the lust is there, if you are face to face with that, you can't do it in a normal day-to-day life. You have to be in a meditation center. Specifically, whenever for the first time it is happening. That is why we meditators come to one particular place and practice specifically as a full-time. And whenever the little or slight desire arises, instead of suppressing it, you try to understand it. So therefore, under such circumstances, when a yogi is doing that kind of a thing, others must have utter sympathy to understand it because he or she is experimenting. This is the experiment ground. And that is how the great compassion of the Buddha came into being. Within the dispensation, there were a lot of things are happening. Everyone is complaining. But whenever the appropriate time happens, Buddha is defending them. He says, no, he is not doing with this malice. He is experimenting it and he is the only person going to get out of it, get out of the control of the raga, so that you have to experiment it. So whenever this chittanupassana happens, you can't go prepared. You have to be impromptu and get the opportunity. The opportunity means your faith is intact, your morality or precepts are intact, the mindfulness is steadfast. Under such circumstances, you can play with raga, viraga, dosa, vita dosa, moha, vita moha, and then only you will see, behind the screen what is happening in the circuit rather than in the dashboard. And when it is going there, that present day research they have done and how these things are working across cultures, nations, sex, maturity, they find exactly the same circuit. Whether you are old or young or whatever may be, whether you are born in the east or west, whether you are born in the culture or not, this is happening exactly the same way. That's called universal law. So therefore, the moment you understand a little bit of that, then it's a door opening for you to understand what you call your own mind. It's a chip of this holographic picture and that represents the human mind. So, after earning, or after being endowed to have a human mind, and if you are not exploring into that due to your phobia or due to your allergic reaction or due to your morality or moralist characteristic, it's utter waste of time. Before the Buddha, no one even experimented. They thought it's a business of the God. They thought it is the Brahma. Or they thought it's omnipotent, omnipresent God can do it, because they found that handling that is just like a high tension wire. So you can handle the low tension wires, but when it after a certain extent, they just don't do it. But if you know precautions, you can handle high tension wire, and the raga itself has different shades, very slight one, medium one, very gross one. So you start with the way it is happening to you. So when that kind of thing happens, you become a born-again Buddhist. You understand whenever it is happening, how much I am prepared to tackle this rising lust, rising hate, rising delusion, or or sleepiness or sliminess, anything you try to understand, so many express it like a mature person learning a second language. So there you have to completely be just like a young person. You have to do it so much of experiment. You may be very expert in your mother tongue, but whenever you are learning the second language, you have to be again a beginner's mind. So therefore, once you have this materiality as a subject or Kayanupassana as a subject, once it is going into the Chittanupassana, you put yourself into the lab experimenting and look at it as someone else. Look at as some, you get a distance and you yourself, it is still anishchitoscha viharati. You are not recognizing by your own lust or your own lack of lust or hate or delusion. You consider it is a universal lust, universal hate, universal delusion. When and where it is coming, that's a great opportunity. If you are armed with other qualities to look at it, and when that happens, you are observing the behind the screen what is happening, the mechanism, and that is always kept as a taboo. No one allow you to do it because they, the cultured people, religious people, they think it is none of our business. You must not do it. So either you may go mad or your religious masters will block you. Or your God will be give the wrath. So don't do it. So therefore the Prince Siddhartha, when it is doing it, he happened him to go out of this the cultured society, and then only he can practice it. But even then, after practicing, after realizing, he had his own fear doubt. Can I preach this to these sentient beings? No one will accept this as a possibility. They will think it is something going against the grain. It's uncultured. At the beginning, when you are doing Kayanupassana, you say that is very religious, that you can understand it. But whenever it is going to the Vedanupassana, Chittanupassana, it's very difficult. So there is a kind of a profundity. But everything, or the weight of understanding, not in the Chittanupassana, it is in Kayanupassana. If you have these basic mental qualities, you become slowly qualified to do it. So even though this has been very profound, it needs so much of this understanding. This is a byproduct, or this is a natural gift, endowment you are going to get when and where the mindfulness on the materiality come into being. You develop kind of a heroic feeling, kind of a immunity or determination power to go into these unknown areas. So that is none of your qualities. These are the endowment you are going to have due to your beginner's mind. So therefore, even though this list and the mechanism you do not know exactly, no problem. When the progress happens, it knows, just like a root of a tree, knows where to find the sap, where to find the water, where to find the nutrients or fertilizer, it grows. You can't see it. So likewise, when the Kayanupassana is growing, your penetration into Chittanupassana, Vedanupassana is naturally happening. So many people, they do not understand the harmonious or the global kind of or matrix kind of development. They think after a certain amount of Kayanupassana, they have to do Vedanupassana or do Chittanupassana. It is nothing of that sort. When the Kayanupassana come out of the maturity, it cascades down to the Vedanupassana and then cascades to the Chittanupassana. But by these talks and the understanding is you understand the theoretical background and to see how profound the teaching of the Buddha. So by theoretically be prepared, whenever it happens, you get the double of the merits you feel free, you feel thrills and feel thrills, because it's exactly happening to each and everyone in the same way. So therefore, whenever it is not happening, don't worry, the maturity has to happen. And whenever your mind is frightening, or that is to say, fear of freedom, it's called sankittanga chittam. Your mind is contracted. That can happen due to your morality, or that can happen due to lack of faith, or that can happen due to the lack of radical reflection, then mind can get contracted. So under such circumstances, you get shocks. Ultimately, you don't know why you are getting up and go, because mind becomes so uncertainty. And sometimes it is completely distracted when it is happening, even though the mindfulness is there, even though you are understanding this is lust as lust, you feel completely self-negated, you feel desperate, you don't know how to facilitate it, and you feel it is too much. So these two can happen. Never mind goes to the middle way, either contracted or distracted. So this is how mind reacts. Just to say, whenever a criminal case is listening in the court, you can understand the accused. Whenever the witness is coming, he becomes nervous. He says point blank, no, I never did it. I am not the person did the mistake. Like, everyone knows what he is doing, but judge has no power to suppress it. Only the judge has to do is give more and more, if it is available, witness, and ultimately he has to confess. So likewise, our mind plays all the kind of tricks. And these tricks sometimes give the sleepless nights. And you hate meditation hall sometimes. You hate your sitting place. You feel like it is a torturing place, because you are progressing. So one day, incident I heard, I have never first-hand experience, Upanishad Sayadaw in Burma. At that time, he was giving personal interviews and he is giving discussions and he is giving talks. And one of his foreign disciples came and meditated, and it happened to go back. And once he go there, Sayadaw told, up to the knowledge you have, you can share with him. And Sayadaw heard he is successful. Some or the other, he can give the basics. And after that, he asked Sayadaw, I feel like now too much engaged in this work, would like to come and meditate further. And Sayadaw said, whenever you have time, you can come, you are welcome. So he came and he thought, other people are beginners, now he is the meditation master or recognized person. So he went there and said, nothing happens. So much of pain, so much of distraction. So we went to the Sayadaw just like the other beginners and told, but they may be traveling and my body is not helpful. And never mind, Sayadaw told, as far as you are following the timetable, carry on. And second day also he came and he wrote what is he wanted to convey and keep in front of Sayadaw, not to show him, but he can't express himself. He's utterly lost. Then Sayadaw wrote, never mind, that is the way. And as far as you are practicing up to the timetable, you can carry on. And next day, he keep the book in front of Sayadaw and start crying, telling the Sayadaw, I thought of going back. It was utterly disruptive, distracted mind. And what I heard is, Sayadaw knelt down and go to him. Below the book, he has put the head and told, your mind is progressing. No one believed when for the second time that kind of a pain happens, when kind of a distraction happens, no one knows it's a sign of a progress. Everyone thinks from the pleasure principle. And then most of the assumed people, those who are assuming I'm a senior meditator, I know this and that, they can't face the team. They can't face the teacher. But the teacher knows whenever the mind goes to contraction as well as distraction, that indicates the progress. If it is not happening, it's utter waste of time. So therefore, when you are in a team, you can understand at the time you write report elated, so much of good things, but all the red roses, bed of red roses, danger of red is there, next day he will commit suicide, no problem. Can happen, because you expect anything to happen, you have it a permanent notion, but you never expect distraction and the contraction can happen, an exalted and unexalted mind. You feel like teaching your parents, you feel like teaching children and telling other family members, so much of happiness. Next day, you feel regret, I bloody fool registered for this meditation retreat, I lost so much of dinners and I am just desperate. My family members are happily having the dinner and good night, but what I am doing? So completely your self-negating happens. If that is not happening, if it has not happened, I feel sorry for you people. It is a must. It's a must. You are not answerable to someone, but you understand the different facets, different coloration of your mind. This is so dramatic. More you go to these two extremes, you become an international meditation master. If you have no that kind of extremes, hardly you can teach someone to others, because you expect everyone to go completely in the middle part. Never. Always you are banging into the dish. Bank one time and bank into the other bank. That means you are floating. You are going according to the current. But never as you expected. But midst of all the kind of things, still imagine if you can maintain the timetable. Even the gods and the Brahma pay respect to you. Because this is not for your gain. It's not for fame. This is not for money. It's not for nothing. But still you do it, then only it becomes spiritual. So to go to into that spiritual level, the consistency, that is called satata abhyasa, do according to the timetable. Whenever possible, and there are some exceptions, when you become sick, one day one person asked the shadow that what are the limits we can apply sick leave in the meditation retreat. He says, if you can eat and digestion happen and if you can sleep, you are qualified for meditation. No excuses. Whatever you eat, if it is digestion going to take place and if you have normal sleep, that's it. All the others are not an excuses, they are the excuses for the lazy bones, the lazy people. But for meditation, when and where you understand, with so much of distraction, so much of contraction, and so much of exalted mind and unexalted mind, still if you can maintain the timetable, the amount of charging you get for your personality is unimaginable. That is how the spiritual life is. So therefore, not that me or you are sitting, but you are face to face with the object, not with the materiality, but with the mentality. So therefore, it happens ultimately you find, even if you complain, your mind is distracted, in that distracted mind, the one-pointedness is there. The mindfulness is there. The wisdom is there. Theoretically also it is there. Practically also it is there. So it has to go through number of times, and that is why today also there was a report telling that the mind was so mindful and all of a sudden everything scattered off, and why it is that? So my question is, who knows that mind is mindful and mind is scattered? Still the mindfulness. So that mindfulness is very sporty. It is very radical. So that is what you have to foster, you have to fertilize and give food. But instead you think understanding of lack of mindfulness is something wrong, beyond my control, so you get up and go. But instead, you may see at the end, whatever the complaint you made, whatever the distraction you try to figure it out, that understanding my mind is in a distraction is happening under your very nose. It is happening through your own tools And that distraction is equally valid like the contraction or mindfulness or concentration. So therefore, face it when and where it is happening. So the Buddha mentioned, sometimes mind is subjected to your mental or emotional situation. Sometimes you can suppress it and you can sit over that. And that is anuttarangva, sautarangva chittam. Sometimes the pain is there. So you are so in sour, bitter and astringent, but still you don't give up. And after a while, imagine the pain is alleviating and you are developing kind of a hilarious idea. And the pain is not available, but your mind is so healed. Under such circumstances, you can see, you can sit on this painful feeling. So the best example will be when you are in walking meditation. Sometimes the astray thoughts and wandering minds and daydreaming happens. But if you really get the idea, even they are happening, still can you feel the touch of your soul to the ground? This is left leg, this is right leg line. So if you are really sharp, you can see amidst of all the kind of astray thoughts, still you can see occasionally left leg, right leg. And when that is becoming more and more under control, you may see like, you may feel like you are walking on a carpet of thoughts. Thoughts are there, you can step upon them. You can be aware. And even though you are walking on a mat of thoughts, each time you keep it like touching happens, you can understand. So you bypass it. You become surpassed and you can see thoughts are there. The best example is on the just before the day before the enlightenment of the Buddha, according to the tradition, four dreams. One thing is he was climbing on a mountain full of shits, never touching. Asuchi kanda. While he's walking, nothing touching. So that means he is on top of the shit, not touching. So much so it is not touching, it's a great thing for the Buddha. Your things are there, you are not smeared, you are not carried away. So like a thoughts may be there, pain may be there, sounds may be there. Still you know, still you can have the relationship with your primary object. One time, that situation gave more courage or more immunity than without distractions. When the distractions are there, still you can see through it. Anuttaran chittam, they become suppressed and you are walking on a carpet of thoughts like it is happening. But if that you can't pass that to your dear and near ones, they themselves have to try it. They themselves have to get the clear point clear. And when you are meditating, these are the real milestones you can understand. So far, so you will never demand soundless places or thoughtless mind or painless body. They are nonsense. It is like asking water without cohesiveness. Water means cohesiveness. Body means pain. Mind means thoughts. And atmosphere means sounds. So how can you claim it? Best thing is, don't reborn in this bloody world. As far as you come here, that is what you get as a birth certificate. This is your birthright. When the mind is there, it's full of thoughts. When the atmosphere there is full of sounds. And the body is there full of pain. So if you are going to have a body without pain, either you have to have a paralytic stroke, or you have to die. Then sure. You are not pain, you are not with the pain. So likewise, when you are trying to understand with this utility value, sometimes you can master it, sometimes you become a slave. And what I am going to say is both, be a slave as well as master, is an important two facets. Otherwise, you never assimilate the middle path. If you are going to say only I have to be a master, never the slave, you don't get the proper balance. Or therefore, when it is happening, ultimately that midst of all the kind of thing you find, your calmness, your solitude, your contentment, your peace of mind is throughout there. The example, as I mentioned, that in the whenever you are looking at tragedy or comedy in the screen, whether it is displaying tragedy or comedy, screen never get distracted. Screen is the screen. Likewise, the mind is like a screen. On that, the tragedies and comedies are happening. But once it's gone forever. Nothing remains. That is the nature of the mind. So you understand your mind cannot be distracted unless otherwise you believe. So there's one, when I read a book one day, he's a Catholic priest. He says, whenever we try to experience spiritual experiences amidst of day-to-day mishap and unmindful mind, occasionally we get kind of a alignment and we recognize this is a spiritual experience amidst of that worldly feelings. And if you are lucky enough to multiply it or cultivate it, one day you may get more and more frequently. And then one day, your mind is full of the spiritual experiences, but here and there, some mishaps. You may consider this as human errors. You never worry, because you know from the lack of spiritual experience, now it has come to the majority of spiritual experiences are there. But here and there, you can see your own mistakes. They are human errors to indicate you are not a god. You are not a celestial being. You are a very person coming from human sphere to this spiritual sphere. At that level, you will understand right from the beginning, from your birth, mind was at peace. You don't know. That's very difficult to convince. So that is why the Buddha says, Dullabho manussatta patilabho. Even the having this human life itself is a very, very rare. So when a pimple happens into your face, you hate yourself. When your hair become gray, you hate yourself. You never understand, still you are a human. And when some person is doing something wrong, we say he must be killed or he must be put into the jail. We never see he is a human. Because we are decisive on these trivial things because of our stereotype mind, because of our fanatic mind. And we never see from his point of view. So we often lose humanness. So whenever you understand the humanness, not a single kilesa can you deprive of your humanness. So always try to understand, I am not a special being, but I am a human being. So the best verifiable evidence or benchmark was given was your body. Be with your body and understand not a single kilesa, a single defilement can block you to go back to your body, wherever it may be. That is the whetstone, that's a verification. That means you love yourself, your body is the whetstone to verify and you will never get deprived of. So there you understand the samahita chitta. Concentrated mind is always there. But our education, our association, our culture, always to find the negative side, incomplete side, you as well as others. So that's a cancer. That's a kind of a contagious disease, more so for the social beings, more so in the social media. From morning to evening, they are collecting all the bad things happening in the world. And that becomes the hot news. Imagine if you are to show or start a television channel and to show one person sitting and waiting for 12 hours and you are showing the same person from morning to evening. Will the people follow and see that television clip? Never. They will find what to look at. That's the same thing happening. So I need someone killing or someone kissing. That is very, very dramatic. So you are the bloody fool. Giving the facility for that kind of television channels, so they know how to exploit it. But what is the teaching of the Buddha? The Buddha says, බබස්සර මිදම් බික්ක වේචිත්තං ආගන්තුකේ උපක්කලිටේ උපක්කලිටා and amongst each and every man's mind is full of potential, so full of peace, full of contentment, full of solitude, but outer crust is defiled due to the association. That outer crust is not even millimicron or micron level. It's just like a paint of your car. How to scratch it and see inside what is happening? Human mind is there. But you see the paint. That is because you don't know see-through. You don't know the penetration. You don't know the vipassana. So therefore you think it's a green color, blue color. But it's just a mere layer of paint. And then the Buddha says, the agantuke upakalita upakalita tam asutoto putujjano napajana. The people don't have the theoretical understanding, they never believe. They believe what they see. For such a people, meditation never works. Concentration will never happen. And again the Buddha says, the mind is naturally full of potential, full of contentment, full of peace, full of concentration. And outer crux is rusted and greasy and oily. But those who know it never worry about the outer crux. They wish to penetrate. Another example given is, if you can see a beauty queen, all the males are very happy to see. But if you can remove the outer skin, it's very thin, then what you are going to see? They should have a person close by with a stick to keep away dogs and the crows. So as far as we can't penetrate through this thin layer of skin, we love it, we hug it, we expect it. But whenever you see through it, what to look at? So likewise, whenever you see through this outer crux of the defilements, you are using humanness, that is samahita. Always it is there. But due to the believers of defilements, we hardly find difficulty to penetrate through. And whenever you are wobbling in the outer surface, mind is never concentrated. Asamahitam or asikhitam, asikshitam. So they are always finding other faults. They see others' mistakes, one's own mistake, from morning to evening, full of complaints and demands. But whenever you see inside, then whenever you see, the Buddha says, then and there the liberation is there. And you, as far as you fail to understand, you are no more liberated. So they are not time-taking events. It's a matter of just mere understanding. So this understanding is called something electric. If it is happening, it is happening. If it is not, it is not happening. So therefore, once you've given the conducive conditions, one day you will understand the how lucky I am to be a human. How lucky I am to born in this the time of the dispensation of the Buddha. And how lucky occasionally I can go to here now I am. And I have good noble friends or Dhamma talks. And if I wish, I can get ordained or full-time meditation. So these are the most rarest thing. So the day you understand it, even though you have not completely realized it, that very understanding of the potential itself make you a completely different person. So in a retreat, we never think more than that. We just try to give a glimpse. Each and everyone is like a power generator, full of energy. So try to understand the potential. Once understood it, then you know how to realize it. Buddha never touched on that side. He says, once you understand the realization, you know what to do. So therefore, the main topic of the Satipatthana is not to give anything or not to take away something from you, to show, just like when you go in front of a mirror, you see yourself. And only the difference is looking at without prejudgmental ideas, without a reaction. So it is a kind of a viewpoint, it's a kind of a outlook that usually never happen in the normal human life. It's always someone has to listen from Buddha or disciple of Buddha. And then not only that, you have to practice it. One day you can see through it, then only you can worth calling a yogi. Then you know how to realize it. So that part, no one is going to take the responsibility. If this kind of presentation going to give more courage and more enthusiasm for you, that is that means that talk has served its purpose. So I hope this will help increase your courage and practice consistently with the evoked faith with you and the moral conditions and the continuity of the mindfulness. And then you can see layer by layer with the help of the early experiences. With that remark, I would like to sum up the today's talk. Thank you very much for listening. So together we'll take little time to share merits with all the senior and senior beings, our dear and near ones, and as well as to remind and straighten our objectives. With that, we are going to recite the traditional stanzas. Itta avata jangammehi sambhataṁ puñya sambhataṁ sabbe deva anumodantu sabba sampatti siddhya Itta avata jangammehi sambhataṁ puñya sambhataṁ sabbe bhūta anumodantu sabba sampatti siddhya Itta avata jangammehi sambhataṁ puñya sambhataṁ Satta anumodantu sabba sampatti siddhya Aka satta ca bhummattha deva naga mahittika Punyantam anumoditta chiram rakkhantu sasanam Aka satta ca bhummattha deva naga mahittika Punyantam anumoditta chiram rakkhantu desanam ආකාශත්තාච බුම්මත්තා දේවා නාගමහිද්දිකා පුඤ්ඤං තං අනුමෝදිත්වා චිරං රක්ඛන්තු මං පරං ඉදං හෝ ඥාතීනං හෝතු සුඛිතා හොන්තු ඥාතයෝ ඉදං හෝ ඥාතීනං හෝතු සුඛිතා හොන්තු ඥාතයෝ ඉදං හෝ ඥාතීනං හෝතු කිතාවන්තු ඥාතයෝ ඉමිනා පුඤ්ඤ කම්මේන මාමී බාල සමාගමු සතං සමාගමු හෝතු යාව නිපාන පත්‍ය ඉමිනා පුඤ්ඤ කම්මේන මාමී බාල සමාගමු සතං සමාගමු හෝතු යාව නිපාන පත්‍ය ඉමිනා පුඤ්ඤ කම්මේන මාමී බාල සමාගමු සතං සමාගමු හෝතු යාව නිපාන පත්‍ය සාදු 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 සුඛී වන්තු සාදු සාදු අනුමෝදාමි සාදු අනුමෝදිතබ්බං කමාමි කමිතබ්බං අභිවාදන සීලිස්ස නිච්ඡං වද්ධා පචායිනෝ චත්තාරෝ ධම්මා වද්දන්ති ආයුවන්නෝ සුඛං බලං ආයුරෝග්‍ය සම්පatti සග්ග සම්පatti මේවච අතෝ නිබ්බාන සම්පatti මිනාති සමිච්ඡතු